Hello and welcome to the Doorsteps podcast with Dr. Cody Price. In case you missed it, previous and future episodes of the Doorsteps podcast can be found on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorsteps podcast so that you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account at Ohio Doorsteps. Let's get started. I'm Dr. Cody Price, and I would like to introduce you all to my guest today, David Wilson. David is a project manager for Land Studio, which is a Cleveland-based nonprofit organization that manages public art and civic space development projects throughout the city. So I want to start off by thanking you.
Thank you, Cody. Really appreciate the invitation and the chance to talk about the fantastic work that's happening in Cleveland.
Yeah. And so can you start us off by talking a little bit, kind of introducing Land Studio and what you guys are about?
Of course. So Land Studio, as you mentioned, we're a nonprofit that manages public art and public space development projects in the city of Cleveland. Our mission is to create places and connect people through public art, sustainable building and design, collaborative planning, and dynamic programming. You know, that's kind of a mouthful, but I think that the two key words there are the connections and collaborations. So really what we do well is bring organizations together, connect to local artists, work together with community development corporations, foundational and institutional partners, in really elevating the level of design throughout the city of Cleveland.
Can you kind of provide more examples of some of the stuff that you guys have provided? I know we'll probably get into more specific examples later on, but I mean, just sort of the major projects that you guys
have. Of course. We work in a variety of different neighborhoods across the city of Cleveland, and we also do just a variety of different projects. Large-scale urban design projects, which range from Public Square, which was a $57 million redevelopment of a key public space that is in downtown. So we facilitated the design process behind that, bringing the designer in from a James Corner Field operation to fundraising and advocating for the space to be built. And we also do projects on a neighborhood scale level, working together with local artists, grassroots organizations, community development corporations that I just mentioned, in realizing visions for how they want to see their public realm improvements implemented.
And so can you give a little bit of history about Land Studio? So when did you guys begin and kind of where have you really completed projects kind of within Cleveland? I mean, you've talked about the certain neighborhoods in downtown, but where all geographically?
Yeah. So Land Studio is essentially, you know, we were a product of a merger back in 2011 between two organizations, Parkworks and Cleveland Public Art. And so both of those organizations have been around since the early 1980s and doing a variety of work involving public art and public space development. And so it just made sense since those organizations were working on a lot of similar projects to come together. We are a small staff, about 17 of us, and you know our projects really run the gamut. We work in a variety of neighborhoods all across the city of Cleveland. That is our mission and our geographical location. Occasionally, we'll be asked to partner or collaborate on projects regionally, but our focus is on the city of Cleveland, and there certainly is no shortage of projects or need for that matter.
And so what is really your process with selecting your next project or neighborhood that you're going to be working in?
Well, first and foremost, the question that we have to ask is, does the project advance our mission? And our mission being really connecting people through public art and design and in a collaborative way. Also, we ask if the project leverages civic, philanthropic, or private investment through advancing a collaborative vision in a meaningful way. So we work together with community development corporations, institutional partners, local and regional agencies, the city of Cleveland, the planning department, and the Greater Cleveland Regional Transit Authority, the Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, Cleveland Museum of Art. So we tend to see how these different investments and investment areas in art can be connected, understanding that we are a small staff, but the greatest way to have the biggest impact is to collaborate and to leverage these investments. Also, we ask if the project is innovative or catalytic in a variety of ways. And then finally, if there's a shared vision for the outcomes with a potential client or partner that we are working with.
So what really makes Land Studio unique? You're probably not the only landscape, public art-based studio around. And so what sets you apart?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, it's our staff. You know, we like to say we get projects done and we're small and mighty. But I'm always blown away by just the amount of talent and creativity and just variety of backgrounds that people have on our staff. And I think also what makes our organization unique is our ability to navigate through some pretty complicated processes to make projects happen. So, you know, we see ourselves as conveners and also as an organization that can help connect the dots between local and regional interests. And also, you know, I think it's our commitment to work collaboratively with just a variety of partners and with residents in really connecting around not only public art, but programming as well, and the way that public art can be created, working together with many different stakeholders.
Kind of delving into that further, how can art be used to strengthen communities?
I think a big way is through dialogue. I think having public art is an opportunity to not only talk about art culture, but creates a space for people to come together around how they can envision a space in a different or creative way. You know, some of the projects that we work on, even just a simple can of paint, can completely transform the way that people feel and the way that people talk about where they live, and create a meaningful dialogue around some of the issues that people face from day to day. I think in a lot of ways, art can be that glue that ties together neighborhood community development in a meaningful way.
And how does public art directly affect residents?
I think certainly the process of creating public art has profound impact, especially when residents are at the table making the decisions from the very beginning, from planning to implementation, and then ultimately to when the art is installed, continuing that conversation going forward. So, you know, art not only enhances aesthetics, but has a profound impact in ways that we perceive and interact with the environment. And like I said, it's just a wonderful way of creating dialogue and conversation and bringing people together around some of the things that they value the most.
Can you kind of walk us through getting these residents involved? So, I mean, you might want to use one of your recent projects, the Inner City Hughes, as an example of maybe community involvement, resident involvement from beginning to end, and just on how this process or project was really envisioned and how it was finally implemented.
Yeah, so Inner City Hughes is a public art initiative that we really started talking about and collaborating around about it a little over a year ago. We Land Studio have been working in the Buckeye Shaker community, which is a neighborhood in the east side of Cleveland, for a number of years through the support of the St. Luke's Foundation, which is a local foundation that is housed in that community. And so this is a dialogue that has been ongoing. And so a little over a year ago, one of our charges was to facilitate public art in the community. We just felt that this would be a really strong way to start to do things differently around connecting with residents. And so from the very beginning, the focus was on bringing local artists, residents, community activists, business owners to the table to talk about what kind of process that they wanted to see in the art that would ultimately be going up in their community. So, you know, those conversations that started a little over a year ago, about a dozen local artists from the community are working to implement four murals, one of which is completed. One more we're hoping to get done before the end of the year, and two more in this upcoming spring. So, you know, we kind of envision this program as being a platform for artists, and particularly artists of color living and working in these neighborhoods, to highlight the amazing talent that exists and to really shine a light on the amazing work that they're doing, and also creating a platform through programming, through artist workshops, through community events, where artists can connect to residents and really kind of create a dialogue on a different way of implementing public art.
And can you describe what these murals will look like? Like, so you said that one's completed. So what is this mural showing?
The first installation that went in, we were working together with an artist called Amanda King, and her artist group is called Shooting Without Bullets. And she specializes in photography and also working together with youth in photography performance art. And so what she wanted to highlight was the resilience of the community. So it's a series of photographic installations where it highlights a family in the Buckeye Shaker community around the themes that Toni Morrison wrote about in her novel, The Bluest Eye. And so they're full-sized photographs that are on display in a building that's currently vacant. So that's just one of the installations that has been implemented to date. Three other installations that are going in. One is going to be a mural on the side of a music store that will highlight Maya Angelou with some inspirational words. Another is going to be a 20 by 30 foot banner on the side of one of the community development corporations in the adjacent neighborhood of Mount Pleasant. And another is going to be another photographic mural that's going to be on the side of key building in the community. So these are just some of the projects, and we're hoping that this will create a model for community engagement around public art going forward.
Yeah, no, it sounds really great. What have been some of your biggest challenges that you guys have faced, maybe not specifically with this project, but in general with a lot of the art projects being started?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges has been just around who is at the table. And so outreach and community engagement is something that takes up the most time and energy, but is the absolute most crucial in all the projects that we work on. And so we are very intentional about what are the relationships that we need to build and work on in ensuring that everyone has a voice in these projects. And so we work together very closely with not only the community development corporations, but the community anchors like libraries and schools, service providers, and other organizational partners that do work in the public realm to really find ways that we could connect and make sure that the voice of the residents are being heard throughout the entire process, and that is being reflected in the art that is created.
And I think with a lot of these projects being installed, so what happens once they have been installed? What are the next steps? Who is really maintaining it? Is the artist responsible, or is that something your company is responsible for, or the city?
It depends on the project. So really, you know, one of the pillars in our mission is around sustainability. And so ensuring that there is ownership and buy-in from the beginning is the key to ensuring that these projects will be maintained and taken care of in the long term. So, you know, once the art is installed, you know, we work very closely with the property owners, with the artists. You know, it is their art. And, you know, certainly if there's any kind of repairs or touch-up that needs to be done, we help facilitate that. But in the long term, these are temporary displays. And we understand that, you know, neighborhoods change. And so with it, you know, the needs and vision of a neighborhood can change as well. And making sure that, you know, the art isn't necessarily there forever. That could be, you know, a reflection of the community where it stands right now. And, you know, 5 to 10 years, there's always that possibility that, you know, a new vision could come there. So making sure that it's flexible as well.
One of the things that I really enjoy about public art, I mean, I think that it gives a really unique identity to a city. It's about creative placemaking. It's about putting in urban design where residents and community and even outside travelers like to go and visit and see. And so outside of Cleveland, what are some of your favorite cities to go visit to see their public art installations?
The one city that I actually traveled to a month ago for a professional conference, which is fresh in my mind, is Philadelphia. Their public art mural program there is impressive. And it's run through the city of Philadelphia, and is billed as one of the oldest and largest public art mural collections in the U.S. And what impressed me the most is just the variety and diversity and just quality of the art. It's breathtaking. And so, you know, I think there's certainly some lessons that we can learn from Philly in the way that they deliver their public art program.
Do you have any other favorite cities, or is it just
other than Cleveland? You know, even just in, you know, being here in the last over the last couple of hours, just within a mile radius of the Columbus Convention Center, you know, really impressed with the public art here. Yeah, I mean, every city is unique in that respect, and that's what is so interesting about the work, is that most places that I go to have a certain style that really just can't be replicated. And so, you know, I think a lot of that is happening right now in Cleveland, and really excited to be part of it, and encourage anyone listening to this podcast to come on out and visit anytime.
And so really, after everything that we've kind of discussed today, what are some of the major takeaways that you wish everybody would know?
First and foremost, investment in arts and arts programming and attention to inclusive design is absolutely crucial. The impacts just simply can't be measured on a spreadsheet. And the transformative impact of seeing art that is reflective of the community is really profound and connects in powerful ways. So I would advocate for, you know, you just can't invest enough in artists, local artists, in communities around these projects, because it is a way for their voice to be heard, and really just creates great opportunities to strengthen communities in very meaningful and impactful ways.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree with that. It's just, public art to me is just, it's really there as a community development aspect. And it's just like, by the work that you guys are doing, getting the residents involved and the community involved, it's making them proud of where they're living. It's giving them this identity that they can really place within their neighborhood and allow them to be proud of where they live. And I think that more neighborhoods, more communities, more housing developments need to have more of this sense of place to the residents to really fulfill this more longer term investment.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more. You know, in some of the most meaningful and, you know, powerful projects that I've been a part of have been driven by residents, where they begin to see really the transformative power that they have on their public spaces, and that, you know, everybody has an artist in them, whether they realize it or not. And all it really takes is just, in some cases, just going in and listening and being a partner in everything that is the challenges that, you know, communities and residents are facing. Just a simple act of showing up and listening really can make a difference.
And so if you could have everybody read one book, what would it be?
Oh, just one book?
You can name a couple, but...
Okay. So I will say the one book that I guess is the reason that I'm here today and inspired me to change careers is called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder by Richard Louv, which was a book I read 10 years ago, and where Richard details kind of this disconnect that has happened over the last couple of decades with just children not experiencing nature in the same ways for a variety of reasons, with technology and really what that disconnect has on development. And so for me, that was kind of a light bulb moment where, you know, I was living in Pittsburgh at the time and just started working in for an environmental organization called the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy, and inspired me to pursue a career in landscape architecture to give back that experience that I had, you know, climbing trees and playing in the woods, and just the, you know, the ability to do those things and connect with the natural world, and seeing that, you know, some of the communities that we were working with in the inner city just didn't have the same access, and realizing that, you know, that was creating just a host of problems for communities, and became an issue of equity. So for me, that book has led me kind of here today. The other book I would say, and maybe I'm suffering from a little bit of recency bias here, is The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. I think some of the issues that he presents in this novel are pressing and relevant today. So I would definitely encourage people to go out and read those books if you haven't already.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us. To my listeners, please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorsteps podcast so that you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account at Ohio Doorsteps. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Cody Price, and this is Doorsteps.